Somebody help me here. Is this really part 28 of Secrets in Daniel? Yeah? Wow. You sure I didn't misnumber that? Okay, well, I'll tell you, time flies when you're having fun. And I am having fun. I'm really relaxing here at the college. I'm becoming more bold and even more outspoken than I already am. Thank you for joining me here at the college. I'm going to be leaving here. I'm doing several of these shows ahead of time, so by the time you're listening to my voice now, I will be on my way back up north, I think, and I'm going to take a very slow trip up north. Not that I'm not looking forward to going back to Pennsylvania in May, where probably they're still waiting for the snowdrifts to melt, and I'm hoping that by the 4th of July parade, the tallest of the snow piles made by the snowplows pushing the tons and tons of snow into great heaps will have melted sufficiently to allow my car to pass on Bedford Avenue without slipping into a ditch and killing me. Good morning, everyone. Martin Zender, and I'd like to thank Alice once again. That is Tapioca Toes, for writing this email to me and getting real. Getting real. I love it when you folks out there get real and you ask the hard questions, like, does God love atheists too? You know, you never hear these kinds of serious questions asked at church. They do allow you to ask questions at church, and here's a list of the questions approved by Pastor Dave that you are allowed to ask. Not here. Anything goes. And if I don't know the answer, I'm going to tell you. The most beautiful thing about my job is that I'm allowed to say, I don't know. And I love saying it. I so rarely get an opportunity to say it, which is why it's so easy for me to do it. I'm just giving you folks another opportunity to think I'm an arrogant so-and-so. That's fine. I love it. I'll play right in your hands. It's fun for me because I know the truth, and most of you know the truth as well. So let's go back to God's opinion of atheists, because we're going to reach a conclusion not reached by organized religion. In fact, they reach the opposite conclusion. Their conclusion is, I'll preempt it a little bit. God hates his enemies for eternity. He not only dislikes them, no, my friends, because if he disliked them, he would merely do what we do to our fellow human beings and even some of our fellow believers in this world. We shun them. If we don't like somebody, if somebody rubs us the wrong way, like stroking the back of a cat backwards, then they will shun you. They will not talk to you. They will not answer your texts, even though you may write the most loving texts imaginable. You may use the word love. You may use the word, I will be your friend forever, no matter what. And yet still, they never respond to you. And then they project this hideousness upon God. But no, my friends, God is even worse than this, because God does not only shun you. No, my friends, if only God shunned his enemies, what a pleasant thing that would be. We would be hop, skipping, and jumping through the poppy field on our way to Oz. No, rather, instead, God hates his enemies to the point that he isolates them. But if only he merely isolated them. No, he sends them to a place burning with fire. And he miraculously preserves their bodies. This is a miracle. Now, God could provide a miracle to save them. That would be an easy miracle. You're saved. I gave you belief. Welcome to my family. No. But he instead works a very difficult, very technically challenging miracle. And that miracle is to preserve the human body, to allow it to suffer in fire without consuming itself. That's a very, very special skill. Because ordinarily, you see, fire will destroy the human body, and it turns to ash, and it disappears into the air, into smoke, and it smells bad too. But no, God produces a miracle to keep it burning and keep it burning, to keep those nerve endings alive, because damn it, he is really pissed at you for not loving him. How could you not love him? He's so nice. He needs you to love him back, because if you don't love him back, his feelings are hurt. He's going to go home and pout. If only. No, before he goes home and pouts, he's going to send you and your loved ones into eternal fire. Yeah, that's the God of Christianity. And you know why none of them teach that? Because somewhere deep down, they're sickened by their own teaching. They're embarrassed by it. I was just talking to Dan Sheridan yesterday, and he said to me, isn't it great that we have an evangel? We have a gospel that we're not ashamed of. We have an evangel where we don't have to take the greater part of it and sweep it under a rug until that stupid rug looks like a beret on the Matterhorn. Big hump. What's that under the rug? Oh, that's all the things in the Bible I'm embarrassed about. I'm embarrassed about my God. He's like a crazy uncle up in the attic. We keep him locked up. You know, we don't like to talk about him. We'll bring out some verses. We'll bring out those things we understand. But there's so much of him we don't understand. He has a mean streak. He's freaking nuts. If you get on the wrong side of him, he's a terror, a holy terror. He's an HFT, actually, a holy freaking terror. And if you go against him, then you're going to be doomed. You're going to suffer and be in pain, and you're going to scream with the molten lava going through your veins and your arteries and all your ventricles. Left ventricle, check. Right ventricle, check. Aorta, yeah, let's send the fire through there too. What about the alveoli of the lungs? Let's fill each one of those little air sacs with a hot coal. That's what we'll do. Yeah, that's our friend Jonathan Edwards, folks, who preached Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And he waxed eloquent. Couldn't talk about anything else worth a damn, but the man could wax eloquent about the tortures of the torture meister God. And for that, we owe him much. And of course, there's Dante, who in his innocence wrote a play, The Divine Comedy, Tragedy, whatever the hell it was, and surmised in his sicko imagination all these compartments in hell. All right, that's okay. I'll give him that. It's literature. What the hell? Who cares? Unfortunately, Christianity took it up as, ooh, this must be true. Let's adopt these hideous verses, these hideous passages, and adapt it, and then we're going to misconstrue passages in the scripture, such as the rich man and Lazarus, which is, hello, a parable. Rich man and Lazarus, it's called a parable in Luke chapter 15, and Jesus told them this parable, and it is a five-part parable, starting with the prodigal son, the woman of the lost coin, and then we finally get to the rich man and Lazarus. But unfortunately, for all the Christians who misconstrue this, there is a bump in the road. There's a chapter heading chapter 16. So when they go to chapter 16, they get all excited. Oh my God, it's chapter 16. It's a new chapter. That means that Jesus is no longer telling them a parable that he started in chapter 15. Well, surprise, surprise, it's still a parable because the chapter headings are not inspired. That's right. When Luke wrote Luke, he didn't write chapter 16. No, he just kept writing. Didn't even have to worry about capital letters because the Greek then was no capital letters. Just they're all the same size. All the letters are the same size. Greek. So I think my rant about that is over, possibly. Wait a minute. Let me give it another couple seconds. Maybe I can refire it up. Hang on a second. You may talk quietly amongst yourselves. All right, yeah, I think I'm good on that. Do I have any time left on this show? Yeah, I got about 4 minutes left. Let's go back to the atheists. Because have I left him stranded? No. Because yesterday I told you that God is sane. He's not a crazy uncle in the attic. And he loves his enemies. And to prove it, he sends rain on the wicked and the just alike. Otherwise, you could be able to tell wicked people. You just go to their gardens and everything's dead. Oh, you're a wicked person. How can you tell? You got nothing in your garden. It's dirt. It's rocks. God hates you. But no, in fact, God sometimes goes to the opposite extreme. Well, yeah, it seems like it. Because Solomon was writing in Ecclesiastes and he's mourning how things are today. And he says that the wicked prosper. Actually, God sends more rain to the wicked. He overdoes it. He like overcompensates. He knows people are going to accuse him of hating his enemies. So instead he said, oh, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to overcompensate for you morons. And I am going to make my enemies prosper. In other words, they're going to have the Midas touch. All their businesses will succeed. All their industrious enterprises, whatever they may be, will succeed. Lightning will strike a home. And the lightning will strike the home of the believer. and leave the home of the wicked person unscathed, and a flood will come, or a landslide, and all the houses of the good people will be washed away into the abyss, and the one house of the wicked person, the liar, the cheater, the adulterer, it will be preserved. This is the way. So that is telling you something important, I think, namely that you can't trust the way things look nowadays because God disciplines those he loves. We talked about this in Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to continue to talk about it. Gosh darn it. Gosh darn it. Yeah, I repeat myself sometimes, but this stuff bears repeating. If bad things happen to you, if you're listening to Joel Osteen and others like him, you think, well, I don't have enough faith. I'm not living right. I must be hated by God. But in fact, no, if God doesn't discipline you, then you're a bastard. Did you know the word bastards in the scripture? Yeah, I didn't make it up. Hebrews chapter 12. In other words, you're illegitimate. So it's just the opposite of what we think it is. Back to atheists. And now I see that my time has run out. So that means I'll admit that I have been on a sidetrack from my sidetrack, from the sidetrack of the sidetrack. But am I ashamed of it? No, my friends, I am not. In fact, I am proud of it, and I will probably do it again tomorrow.